Welcome to Tori Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. This perek actually begins a few psukim earlier, at the end of Perek 16. One day, says Yirmiyahu in Perek 16, verse 19, all the nations of the world are going to recognize Hashem. They will throw down their idols and realize how futile they are. Perek 17 begins by contrasting this with Bnei Yisrael. In Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Yirmiyahu says, Chatan Yehuda k'tuva be'eit barzel, b'tziporin shamir, charusha aluach libam, ul'karnot misbachotam. The guilt, the sins of Yehuda are inscribed on their hearts with a pen of iron. It's engraved with a sharp point on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. Yirmiyahu describes how Bnei Yisrael think of their idols with emotion and with longing, the way that they think about their children. They consider the idols as important and vital to their existence as members of their family. This perek was probably said during the Tshuva movement of Yoshio, when Yirmiyahu and Yoshio were working together to uproot the idolatry that had been so ingrained in the people from the time of Menashe. Another thing that this perek has that is reminiscent of the time of Yoshiahu is hope. Hope for change. Hope that things can be better. The next section deals with who is considered a servant of Hashem and who is not, who is worthy of praise and who is worthy of shame. It begins with these words in verse 5 and 6. Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, arur hagever sheivtach ba'adam, v'sam basar zro'o, umin Hashem yisor libo. So says Hashem, cursed is the person who trusts in man, who makes mere flesh his strength, and he turns his thoughts away from Hashem. Haya ka'ar'ar ba'arava. This person is going to be like a bush in the desert. V'lo yir'eh ki yavo tov. He doesn't even realize when good is coming. He's so set apart. It's such a barren place that he's at. V'shachan charirim b'midbar. Eretz melecha v'lo seishev. This person is in a scorched place in the wilderness, in a barren land without inhabitants. That's what it's like to trust only in a person's own strength, to trust only in man. Man is fallible. They can't bring water. They can try. But if your ultimate trust is in man, then it won't work. The opposite is also true, though, in verse 7. Baruch hagever asher yivtach b'Hashem. Blessed is the person who trusts in God. V'haya Hashem miftacho. That person will have Hashem as his truster. Hashem will always be there for him if you trust in him. And now he brings a metaphor. Unlike the desert, this person, v'haya ka'it shatul al mayim, v'al yuval yishlach sharashav, this person is like a tree that's rooted into water. And the roots of the tree go all the way down into the water. V'lo yirah ki yavo chom. This tree or this person doesn't have to worry when the heat comes, doesn't have to worry when the difficulty comes. Haya aleyu ra'anan, because its leaves are going to be fruitful or they'll be happy. U'b'shnat batzorat lo yid'ag. This person does not have to worry during a drought. V'lo yamish me'asot pri, and they'll never stop giving fruit. The imagery of the tree rooted next to water is also found in the first parak of Tehillim, and it's describing the image of a tzaddik, a righteous person. The tree is totally self-sufficient. Its roots dig down into a stream, so it will never run out of water. Even during the heat of the summer, the terrible drought, it has its own water source, and therefore it never has to fear the future. Its fruits, which represent its actions or its children, everything that it produces is secure. Yirmiyahu has already established the metaphor of Hashem as the source of water, the life giver. In Perek 2, he says, God is the source of living water, makor mayim chayim, that never runs out, unlike the broken cisterns that are the idolatry, that give people a false sense of security, thinking there will be water when actually the cistern is cracked and empty. That's arur hagever. That's the person who's cursed. He's like in a desert where there's really no hope. Rabbeinu Bechaya quotes these psukim in his Duties of the Heart, explaining that the benefits of trusting in God is peace of mind. He says, trusting in God as a servant must trust in his master, because if one does not place his trust in God, he will place his trust in something else. And whoever trusts in something other than God, the Almighty, will remove his providence from such a person and leave him in the hands of the ones he trusted. We call this midah keneged midah, a measure for measure. If a person trusts in Hashem, then Hashem is there for him. If a person decides to place his trust in idols or in humans, then that's what will be there for him. Yirmiyahu is so clear and using his imagery to show the people that if they want peace of mind, if they want security, their best bet, it's most practical to trust in Hashem. The dichotomy between Arur HaGever and Baruch HaGever is actually a hopeful structure. It expresses a sense that change can come. People can equally choose evil or good. They can change. If they are a person who has not trusted Hashem until now, they can become a person who is blessed, who changes their ways and trusts in Hashem. This hopeful sense fits the time of Yoshiyahu. Although the people were steeped in their idolatrous ways, the king was committed to bringing the people back and eradicating idolatry. The language of cursed and blessed is also reminiscent of the blessings and curses of Har Gerizim and Har Eval, as explained in Devarim 27. Cursed is the person who does not follow Hashem, and blessed is the person who does. The Brit, the covenant of Har Gerizim and Har Eval, is also reminiscent of the Brit, the covenant that Yoshiyahu made with the people after he found the Sefer Torah. When Yoshiyahu finds that Sefer Torah, he knows he has to convince the people that they need to change their ways. So instead of telling them, you have to do this, you're forced to, he stands with them and says, we're making a covenant. We're making a pact. Will you accept the Torah? Will you be somebody blessed? And the people say, yes, we will. This idea of a brit is fundamental to understanding how Yoshiyahu was able to get the people at least somewhat to give up their idols by giving them a little bit of autonomy to choose their ways. The tone of the parak shifts in Pasuk 14. Yirmiyahu turns to Hashem and he says, Rifa'eni Hashem ve'erafei, hoshieni ve'ivashea, ki tehilati ata, Hashem, heal me, and only then can I be healed. Save me, and only then can I be saved, because you are my salvation. The transition from Yirmiyahu saying, if you trust in Hashem, Hashem will be your trust. Yirmiyahu looks inward, and he says, but Hashem, be my trust, because I have all these people who hate me. I need you to save me from a people who are always looking to dismiss my prophecy and cause me harm. The mocking tone of the next pasuk, pasuk 15, is the people's sarcastic response to Yirmiyahu. When he tells them these things, they say to him, Heina heima omrim elai, they say to me, Ayei tzavar Hashem, Yavona, where is the words of Hashem? Yeah, let it come, let's see. They don't believe him at all. And Yirmiyahu says, "V'ani lo atzti miro'eh acharecha. I never failed to follow you, to be a shepherd in my service. V'yom anush lo hita'avti. I never wanted that fatal, terrible day to come where my prophecies would come true and then people would believe me. I never asked you for that, even though it would prove me right. Instead, Ataya data mutzas fatai nochach panecha haya. You know that what I say, everything that I say is for you, Hashem. Yirmiyahu always turns to Hashem for support and comfort when he is under attack. How hurtful it is to hear people taunt him. Oh yeah, Yirmiyahu, when are your prophecies going to come? Accusing him of making empty threats when he knows that his threats are only there to help them. The third section of the parak begins with Pasuk 19, with Yirmiyahu's prophecy to the people about keeping Shabbat. This is an unusual prophecy, both in Sefer Yirmiyahu and actually during this time period. We know that Yeshayahu told the people in Parak Aleph, in his first prophecy, Lo tosivu havi menchat shav, ketorat toi vahili, chodesh v'shabbat kro mikra, Lo uchal aven ba'atara. Stop bringing me your worthless korbanot, says Yeshayahu, the previous prophet. It's horrible. It's horrible for me. And I can't even handle your Rosh Chodesh and your Shabbat ceremonies because you're bringing such terrible korbanot. This implies that the people of Yeshayahu's time, generation earlier, were keeping Shabbat. But it seems that by Yirmiyahu's time, religious practice had devolved and the people were no longer keeping Shabbat. Rav Menachem Bula in the Dat Mikra points out that this nevuah could fit either early in the time period of Yoshiyahu in the beginning stages of the religious revival, or in the time period of Jehoiakim when the king no longer supported religious practice. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu to stand at the gates of Yerushalayim, not to speak about what's happening inside the city, but what's going on at the gate, and which is, people are going in and out on Shabbat, carrying their goods. In Pasuk Aleph, Yirmiyahu says, Ko amar Hashem, Hishamru b'nafshotechem, va'al tisu masa b'yom Shabbat, va'avitim b'sharei Yerushalayim. Your people, watch your ways and guard your souls. Don't bring things in and out of the gates on the Sabbath day. That's a day where you're not allowed to carry. You're not allowed to go in and out of the gates holding things and continuing on with your work. Then he adds, "V'lo totzi masa mibateichem." Don't take things out of your house. Don't carry from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim, from private space to public space, Biyom HaShabbat. Chom lacha lo ta'asu, and stop doing other things that are not allowed on Shabbat. V'kidashtem et Yom HaShabbat, kasher tziviti et avotechen. Make the Sabbath holy, like I commanded your forefathers. It was Achad Ha'am who said, more than the Jewish people have kept Shabbat, Shabbat has kept the Jewish people. Shabbat does more than just recall the 6 days of creation and that God rested on the Sabbath. It affirms our belief in Hashem's role in the creation of the world, that it was not happenstance that we live on this planet, and therefore we have a unique mission to fulfill now that we are here. It reminds us of our Hakarat HaTov, our thankfulness to Hashem for giving us this beautiful world and allowing us to cultivate it. The part of Shabbat that Yirmiyahu decides to focus on is carrying, moving objects into and out of the city, into and out of their houses, which is part and parcel of any work life. We are so used to carrying with an Erev that sometimes we forget that this is actually one of the key principles of Shabbat, not bringing objects from one space to another, not moving from the private to the public space while carrying any object other than ourselves. The symbolism of this specific mitzvah is palpable. Yirmiyahu wants people to respect the boundaries between man and God. Shabbat teaches us what is in our ability to control and what belongs to God. For 6 days we work the earth, but on the seventh day we acknowledge our limitations. We acknowledge our boundaries. The Jews at the time were not only carrying on Shabbat, they were not respecting any boundaries, not between man and God, nor between man and man. They sought out idols to erase Hashem's power in the world. They carved idols in their own likeness that they can control so that they did not have to acknowledge their limitations. They also stepped into the boundaries of their neighbors, taking what was not theirs, changing around weights to get a little more profit, taking advantage of the weaknesses of the stranger, the orphan, the widow, not respecting their space. Shabbat makes people recognize their own weakness and limitations. And by erasing Shabbat, by not allowing for boundaries, B'nai Israel were pushing God out of their lives. Early in the perek, Yirmiyahu spoke about trust in God. Baruch hagever asher yivtach b'Hashem, v'haya Hashem mivtacho. When you trust in God, God will be there for you. When you trust in God, you have to admit that you need help. And that humility allows God in and allows God to be able to help you. Shabbat represents this idea that as once a week we withdraw and acknowledge our weakness, just like in the beginning of the perek, Yirmiyahu presented the Jews with a choice. Do you want to be Baruch or Arur? Do you want to be blessed or cursed? So too, Yirmiyahu presents him with a choice here, specifically using language of the Brit, the covenant from Devarim, to emphasize the choice available to them. He says in Pasuk Kaf Dalid, "V'haya im shamoa tishmau nelai, if you listen to me, Ne'um Hashem, levilti hevi masa b'sharei ha'ir hazo b'yom Shabbat, and stop carrying on the Sabbath, l'kadesh at yom ha'Shabbat, and make the day holy, levilti aso b'kom lacha, and you stop doing work, Uva'u b'sharei ha'ir hazot, malachim b'sarim, yoshvim al kisei David, rochvim b'rechav basusim. Then kings can come and officers can come. The city will be peaceful. The city will be secure. Heima b'sareim b'ish Yudav, yoshri Yerushalayim, b'yashva ha'ir hazot la'olam. This city can last forever. That's the key for security. The key for security is not to push God out, but to let God in. Not by showing we have no weaknesses, but by recognizing our limitations and acknowledging them and looking at that as a way to connect with Hashem. Yom goes on in Pasuk of Zayin, but if you don't listen, im lo tishma uelai l'kadesh et yom ha'Shabbat, levilti se'et masaba b'sharei Yerushalayim, continue to carry and you continue to desecrate the Shabbat, v'yitzati ish b'sharei v'achla armanot Yerushalayim v'lo techabeh, then I'll send out a fire and it will burn down all the palaces of Jerusalem, all the metaphors for their strongholds, and it won't be able to be put out. This parak represents a seminal point of choice. Their destiny is in their hands. They can choose to be Arur, cursed, or Baruch, blessed. They can choose to keep Shabbat or not to keep it, choose to trust in God or stubbornly cling to their idols. They can choose to recognize their human frailty and the boundaries of their control, or cling for dear life to their idols, the illusions of stability, which will end up being their downfall. The choice is theirs. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Zvi Yosef.